All right. Let me get the thing up real quick. Howdy, Hold Edge. Curb Money here, alongside my co-host...
Kate Line.
And boy, do we got a doozy to discuss today. All right, now, Oh, no. I did this right?
Yeah.
What's up? I'm slipping.
I'm Lester Holt.
I say we just get into it because I want to scream at this guy, but I know that I shouldn't scream as much as I want. So here we go. The IMDb description. After a decade, new evidence emerges about a murdered New York mother, leading to an unexpected twist and conclusion.
Here's Andrea Canning with The Perfect Life.
I think Remy, our main...
villain.
The star of this episode.
Okay, I'll give him that. Yeah.
He is quite possibly the most annoying person that has ever been on a Dateline ever.
Okay. Now, if we were ranking people, he's up there for being the most hated.
He's up there for being the most annoying, for sure.
He is. But, Caitlin, I'm not sure I'm ready to dethrone Ashley Howard yet.
I'm sorry. What?
But Ashley's not annoying.
You don't?
She's just delusional.
Okay. That's fair. Future Kurt here, upon further reflection, it's not fair. Current Kurt did not mean that when he just said that. He was shook, okay? But I guess I will cede the title of most annoying from Ashley Howard to Remy Ramsran. It's not just because he's a murderer and she's not. Actually, that is it. Back to the show. Yeah, I mean, Remy, I really f***ing hate this guy.
If there's one thing about me, I can talk to anyone. Any question, ask me. I'll be more than happy to provide.
He bugs the shit out of me, and look, I'm not 100% he's guilty.
Same.
But you know what I am 100% about? That I want him to f***ing fry. I never want him to step a foot outside in fresh air, okay? I don't give a shit if he's guilty or not. I hate him.
Just because he's annoying.
He's so annoying! Yes!
Wow. You're wishing death on someone for being annoying.
Okay, but they're also suspected of murder, so like, it could be a good thing, right? Okay, not death, just lifetime imprisonment. I mean, what's up? Do you think he did it?
We'll get to that.
Okay, fair enough. So this story begins December 11th, 2012. Mother of three goes shopping 60 miles away and is gone all day. Now she leaves about 11 a.m. and about 11 p.m., 12 hours later, the husband, Remy, calls the cops because he's worried about it. And we hear the 911.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
My wife left this morning between 10 and 11. And she hasn't been back, and I'm really freaked out.
What did you think of Remy's performance on the 911?
It sounded genuine. He's really worried.
Yeah.
He's been trying her. He's been texting her, calling her all day. He's called her friends. He's called his in-laws. He can't find her. And she doesn't usually drive after dark. So he expected that she'd be home by 5 at the latest when it starts to get dark.
Oh, I miss that. Do they say that?
Yes.
She doesn't like driving at night and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's very real.
Jen doesn't like driving in dark and stuff. And
he did sound genuine. I guess. I mean, because we don't know what genuine is for him, I guess we just gotta take his word for it there. So Remy calls the cops, but does he, like, file a missing persons?
His friends tell him about the Find My iPhone feature, because he's able to track all of the phones in his family using that app. So he turns it on and sees his wife's phone pinging from a location, and it kind of looks like it's moving around, and
right.
He's sitting with the cops when they find this. So they go out.
Yeah, he goes to them with this information,
mm-hmm.
I feel, because he didn't have anywhere to start for them. And then he talks to his friends and they're like, try this app. So he goes down to the jail with the police. They open up Find My iPhone app together and see it ping together at the police station. This is where I'm very baffled.
So the cops go down to the location of where this phone might be and they can't find it.
Right.
So they leave.
Yeah.
But then Remy goes back and he uses the alarm feature so it'll make that dinging noise. And he is pressing it and he can't hear it. And then eventually he finds it and it's off the side of this bridge area.
I'm hitting the play sound. I immediately called 911.
I found my wife's iPhone.
And he tells them he found it. And I'm kind of confused why they weren't all there together, why he wasn't doing that with the cops.
That's what I want to know. I don't understand how they're together at the police station. The cops go alone without the phone or Remy. Leave Remy there, sure. take that phone. Then anytime you want, the thing you're looking for will beep really loudly.
Yes.
I can't get over the fact the detectives didn't do that. It made me think like they didn't believe him at all or something.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that we actually heard from the detectives that that's what happened. That's what Remy said happened.
The cops say they went out and looked for it, didn't find it. And then the cops say that they got a call from Remy saying, I'm looking at my wife's phone. I didn't touch it. I'm waiting here for you guys. Can you come pick it up? So that absolutely happened. The only thing up for debate is whether or not Remy put it there.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, so that was a real hurdle for me to get over. Because that Find My iPhone app has saved a lot of people. And I feel like it's a pretty good invention. In 2012, I don't think a lot of people were very familiar with it yet. I've seen crime shows where they track it to the house and stuff. It's actually kind of sweet. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
Okay, so now they have her phone. We don't know where she is. We can't find her car. So she's missing for a few days. Now the family is starting to get worried. And we get the second 911 call. And now this one did sound very genuine, Caitlin. This poor guy.
The second 911 call was from Jennifer's dad. He found her van, and you can hear in his voice, his voice is catching as he's saying it. It's very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Shenango Sheriff.
Yes.
Tom Rance, Jennifer Rance, Rance's father?
Yes.
I found the van.
Her van is very muddy. They find it 8 miles away. Inside the van, no Jennifer, but they do see blood in spots. So obviously, there's a scuffle in here.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that Remy is presenting this, something happened to her on the way to shop, I guess. They make a point of saying that the shopping was far away and you had to take windy roads to get
there. And that she maybe never even got there and something happened on the way.
Okay, I guess that could happen. And then the person has her phone and the van and throws them out separately, I guess. That could happen.
Sure.
Yeah. I know. It's like all of this could happen, but I have no interest in giving benefit of the doubt to Remy Ramsaran. I just don't. He's really annoying.
We can't even do it justice how annoying he is.
Have you ever been in prison? It is hilarious.
No, we can't. And so.
So he's described. We learn a lot about him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a marathon runner. He does like 26 marathons a year.
I say both.
Oh, yeah.
That's one every 2 weeks. That's crazy.
Also, he's fat.
Thank you. But you know what, though?
Like,
he's got a marathoner's body. That's what happens. Like, your body gets used to it or whatever, because he is chunky.
Yeah, he's got, like, these big arm muscles, and he's, like, showing off his biceps in a lot of pictures. And it's like, bro, you're just fat. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You think you're, like, this muscle guy. He
thought he was a muscle guy. He only had muscles in that one photo. Like, I feel like he was thin for a month. Maybe, and he's been chasing that high ever since, because he doesn't look like that in any other photo. I just see him in his f***ing Wickwear rock shirts. Those, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. He really thinks that his shit don't stink. He is talking about how he's got this big personality and he, you know, people know him because he's just larger than life and he's always doing all this stuff and he's got this great job. It's not that great. He's a project manager at IBM. He's just middle management. Like, come on.
I'm a guy, Mr. Corporate America, Charles Schwab and Company, American Express. Prison is freedom.
They act like he's got this really nice house and this big estate.
Yeah.
Now, Kurt, did their house not look like something you would build in The Sims?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I mean, the direction it's facing.
That's not a compliment. Like, what is that design style?
No, not
at
all.
It's a square box with windows that don't match. They don't line up right. There's like French doors right next to the front door. It's very confusing and I'm not here for it.
Yeah, and they do talk about it like it was a palatial estate and it wasn't. And also, I don't get his... One, I don't believe that he ran 26 marathons in a year.
26 marathons, and I was sponsored.
In 1 year?
Yeah.
26 marathons.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't really care to find proof or not of that. I'd call bullshit, and that's where I'm going to leave it. I also hate that he's talking about running a marathon without drinking water.
One of the first marathons, I wanted to try and run without drinking a drop of water. I eventually got challenge myself.
Why, bro?
As if that's...
What the hell's the point? And then he's describing...
As if that's a flex.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, and he's telling AC details about how his back was salty and his legs hurt. And she's like...
There was like streaks of salt on my back. And I started cramping up and hurting, but I didn't give up. I'm still going.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay, cool.
He brags about this shit as if AC's impressed and she ain't.
I eventually got
She ain't impressed.
You need to hydrate when you run a marathon. It's not extra impressive if you don't.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, so right now, Jennifer's missing. It's winter time. We go a few months where Remy is on the news. He's looking for her. In his mind, his wife is out there somewhere, and he's doing the pleas to the camera of like,
I don't think you ever, ever knew how much we care for you and how much you're loved.
Yeah, and she didn't know because he was cheating on her.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Now, they had been married for 13 years, and according to Remy, everything was perfect. But Remy was cheating on her.
Oh, he had the perfect life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, episode title right there. And that is apparently a catchphrase. The way AC talked about it was like it's a famous Dateline moment. I love it.
I want to ask you something from our first interview, which was a memorable moment for a lot of people.
He does say he has the perfect life. He has a wife, a girlfriend, a big house, a great job. And AC's like squinting, like grossed out that he thinks like having a wife and a girlfriend is perfect. Perfect for who? You? No one else?
Yeah.
Gross.
You said your life was fantastic.
It was.
You don't have any regrets about
none
saying
whatsoever.
That?
It's the truth. My life was perfect. I had a great life. Period.
And I feel like we got to mention that this girlfriend is Jennifer's best friend too.
Yes. Yes, she is.
And we're first introduced to her. I mean, they gave it away in the cold open when I rewatch it because they say, like, he was cheating and stuff.
I am her closest friend. I betray her in the worst way.
But as soon as they said that Remy got Jennifer's best friend into running and they ran together, instant, I'm going, oh, these two. And it absolutely supports a theory that he would want to kill her because she doesn't want to go on these runs with him. It all falls into line, in my opinion. Kayline, what do you think?
Well, he wants to be with Eileen. He doesn't want to get divorced from Jennifer because he doesn't want to pay alimony, I'm assuming. So he'd rather kill her.
Yeah, and also he says that he and Jennifer were talking about divorce a lot. I also call bullshit on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they were discussing divorce. Now, the thing is, Jennifer also had some questionable stuff going on. She's kind of being flirty with a guy. But her stuff is, I mean, it's because the guy's in England. They couldn't really act on it. But the way that she cheated on him emotionally is the most like, it's not that bad. They went to the mall to smell his cologne. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's sweating it and Eileen's giving her shit about it. But Eileen is f***ing her husband on the regular. And
yes.
Remy is absolutely sure to tell us that he feels no regrets when he f***ed Eileen in his wife's bed. He said that. He said, I know I should feel bad, but I don't.
Did you feel any guilt consummating this relationship in the house that you share with your wife?
I know I should say yes, but I didn't. Jen and I had already grown apart.
Great. Keep talking.
Charming.
Keep talking.
Charming.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so this is according to Remy, so take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, I think you got to take it with a whole shaker of salt. Yeah.
Apparently, Jennifer was playing an online game called Kings of Chameleon or Chameleon Court, Camelot Court or something. It's like an online game, okay? But she was playing it all day. Wait, what kind of game is that? I worked on a show starring Jason Ritter called Tales of Titans that was about games like that. But what's like the famous version of that called?
Well, I don't know what the famous version is called, but I have played games like that. And
are they cool?
You know, you build your little kingdom. You have team members that also have their little kingdoms and band together to do stuff. It's a waste of time. It's not cool. No.
Okay. But you can chat with other users on there, and that's when she starts flirting with this Rob guy in the UK.
Right.
And she sent him lingerie, apparently.
She did.
So was that used? Is that used lingerie?
I would have to think it was used.
Used. Yeah. And then he sent her $150, which she didn't pick up. To which I say, like, Venmo, bro. Like, he sent her, like, she'd have to go to, like, Federal Union or what's that place called? You know what I'm talking about.
Western Union?
There it is.
Do they have Venmo in England?
Good question. I don't know. Yes. Wait, they do. Because I buy shirts from a guy over there sometimes.
Oh.
Pay him via Venmo.
Who's the international man of mystery now, Kurt?
Yeah, except I would love to give you every detail about it. It was about, for shirts, from the burbs. Okay.
Oh.
It was very... About this game, though, they're giving it, like, it looks pretty lame and stuff to me, but I can't hate on it because I'm very passionate about stuff that other people would look at and say, that's dumb, right? We all love the stuff we love.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer found something that she found joy in, which is great considering her piece of shit husband is off running marathons with bleeding nipples and sleeping with her best friend all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But AC had a great description when she's talking about the game. This is the best AC delivery. She goes, was transformed into a lady among lords.
Jen, the mom of three, was transformed into a lady among lords.
That's good, right?
At least it's not Farmville.
Yeah. Hey, great point. You know who loves Farmville? Kim. Kim loves Farmville.
Kim loves it.
She had what she called Kim's kick-ass list. She says it was a list of names from an online Facebook game.
Okay, so over the winter, she's missing, and he's appearing on shows. And we talk to his kids, and they talk about how they were trying to keep her name in the news, so they like did like a bag lighting thing where it goes up in the sky, like a balloon ceremony or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting to me is the clip they play. Like, the point is to raise awareness about where is Jennifer. And Remy is tripling down on his belief that she's never going to be alive again, that she is long dead. He's like, I keep telling you, we're never going to find her. Isn't that kind of weird?
It's weird. I guess he's just trying to show that he's not delusional. But...
Okay, but I mean, hindsight's 20/20. He killed her, so he knows that she's not coming back.
Yeah.
I've said it before. There's no doubt in my mind we're not going to see her again. There's no doubt in my mind.
Now, did he know about this guy from the game? If he did, he could have said she ran off with this guy.
Eileen broke the news to Remy about his wife's online romance.
When I told him, he was furious. I said, you know, this man online knows where she lives.
His whole opinion was that it happened with somebody in the game. He knew about Rob, but they had already proven that Rob wasn't in the country. So, like, it was already... But his whole opinion, even to this day, is that someone from the game killed her. That's his belief.
Hmm.
Wait, they find her body when... Pause, right? Isn't it when spring hits? Don't they find her body?
Yeah.
Jen's body had been discovered on an embankment about 20 miles from her house.
Yeah, they do, because Remy goes, it was 3 miles away from the phone. And he's going, why couldn't the cops find her? Dude, a 3 mile radius is pretty big. It doesn't seem that crazy.
You feel the police should have looked harder?
Absolutely. Even helicopter something.
I feel like he's looking for people to blame. I don't know.
And covered in snow.
Yeah. How do you feel about Jennifer's relationship with Rob? Are you okay with it?
We've all had things like that.
But isn't it like super innocent going to the mall to smell the perfume and like she would put makeup on to take pictures to feel good about herself and send to Rob? Like I'm not mad at her for this.
I'm not either. Sending the underwear in the mail though.
Not your thing?
That's a bit much, but I'm sure she wasn't getting any attention from Remy.
Of course not.
So she just was looking elsewhere. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I feel like... So Remy's the only one who tells us that she's on this game all the time. Even the kids don't remember it. The kids are like, well, she was on her laptop a lot. But none of the kids know specifically that she played that game a lot. And I feel like...
But Eileen knows.
You're right. And Eileen would give her a hard time about it. Like,
come back to the real world, you know?
But I feel like maybe that was her reaction to the fact that Remy's off running a marathon every 2 weeks, supposedly. Right? Like, he's never around. She got it where she could, and that was in Camelot's court. Something. I really wish I could pull this name. Camelot's in it, though. Am I right?
Probably.
All right. Sweet.
Kingdoms of Camelot.
Okay, so the ball gets rolling. Everybody's suspicious of Remy. They finally got enough to arrest the guy. And they do. But what's funny is they ask him to come in because they're like, hey, we finally got some results. We could tell you some info. And Remy thought he was pretty tough, didn't he? When he was like, I'm leaving. And that detective got to stand up and go, No, you're not. You're arrested. You're not going anywhere. And guess what?
It's great.
We're taking that fucking weird shirt you're wearing, and you're going to be wearing orange from now on, dude. Boom! That was pretty sweet.
It was.
I like to leave.
No, you're not leaving. I've already told you that. Sit down. You're not leaving. You're under arrest.
They've got him arrested, and there's a big trial. Now, this is what the first Dateline was about in 2012. And we see Remy in two looks, okay? Let's talk about this first interview first. What are your thoughts on it? Set the scene for us, Caitlin.
Remy is super confident. He's lawyered up. He's feeling really good going into this trial. He knows he's innocent and he can't wait to prove it.
Yeah, and he's very adamant about how he has nothing to hide and that other than cheating on his wife, he's a great husband.
He made a point of saying that.
Yeah.
I'm a great father. I was also a really good husband. Yes, I cheated on my wife. However, I was a great
father.
Juxtapose that with his second interview.
Yeah.
And he is sweaty and belligerent and wearing orange and so pissed off.
Yeah.
You're a scumbag. He knows he's a scumbag.
I mean, I'm glad in that second interview that they prefaced it by saying we did this over Zoom.
He spoke over Zoom from the county jail.
I needed that because he started at an 8.
Yes.
And I feel like part of that is... people do it on Zoom, I feel.
Yeah, I thought either he was behind glass or it was some kind of lag or something because he's yelling.
Yeah, he is.
Prison is easy. You don't understand. There's so much freedom in prison. It's crazy to say.
He's f***ing yelling and he's also like putting his hand up to like silence AC.
So rude.
No.
Okay, first interview, he had asked to be in street clothes. He was locked up at that point, but I learned this from the Talking Dateline. If a prisoner asks for street clothes, they're allowed to have them. But on the second one, he didn't ask, so they didn't give it to him.
He certainly was within his right if he wanted to wear regular clothes.
But that first interview, he's going like, I have truth on my side. I've got nothing to hide. Nothing to hide.
I have nothing to hide. I've always told the truth.
And we meet his lawyer. Now, Remy is an all-timer for Dateline, and his lawyer is also an all-timer.
He is
Tell us about him.
Worst lawyer we've ever seen on Dateline.
Ever.
They were alarmed by Gilberto Garcia's inexperience.
It was kind of unclear what type of law he practiced.
He's not a lawyer. He'd never tried a single case in court. He'd only done, like, divorces or something.
No, the only criminal case he ever tried, he quit halfway through and told the judge he wasn't qualified.
He'd only tried one criminal case his entire career, but withdrew before it finished, telling the judge he wasn't competent enough to defend his client.
That's him talking to the judge, saying, judge, take me off of this. This isn't fair to my client because I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the guy that Remy's parents hire for him to defend him. And Remy seems stoked. I mean, he thinks his lawyer is ready.
He even says, my lawyer's been ready. We've been ready for weeks.
Yeah.
He was extremely respectful, was very happy that I was there.
My attorney's been ready forever. We've been ready. Been ready.
And then, no, because then the trial happens and they call zero expert witnesses. They call one person to the stand, Remy. The one person who they should never let anywhere near the stand ever.
And his reasoning was that Remy's got nothing to hide. When he speaks the truth, people listen, or some kind of nonsense like that. Like, of course we're going to let him tell it the way he saw it or something. I don't remember. It was crazy.
Yeah, because the prosecutor, they talked to the prosecutor too. He's yelling at him. I mean, they say like it got heated in there.
You were getting frustrated.
I was frustrated. I would ask him what day it was and he would tell me how much he loved his wife.
And that's when his lawyer is going, I wanted them to see that he's human. I wanted to see him react. And I'm like, why, dude? I've never liked the way he reacted to anything. Like, what could he possibly say that would be like, oh, you know what? Maybe let this guy go on because he's making some good points.
And also, the lawyer never objected to anything.
No.
I don't think he knew that you could.
No. This lawyer, oh my God, it was so... I watched this episode a few times, but I only watched the part once where he kept tripping over himself when he's giving his closing arguments or whatever. I can't, it's too awkward when he like trips over himself and he goes, not going there, not going there.
Remember when he holds up the cell phone and he's like, this is a killer. What?
Yeah, and he's going, this will eventually be covered in red. What? What is going to be covered in red?
The phone?
What are you talking about?
It's going to be covered in blood?
Who knows?
What are you saying?
Yeah.
We're going to paint this red, and it will be red at the end. If there is a reasonable hypothesis, let's move on. I'm not going to go there. This little thing can be a killer.
This f***ing guy, and he does, which we, this is not the first time we've heard this, but he really, really goes hard on it in that, you know, I ask myself 1,000 times, is Remy guilty? He sure seems it, right? Like, he's like, I go back and forth. Did you hear him on the stand? I wanted to hit him with a frying pan. That's what he said.
Mr. Armstrong testified. Oh my goodness, if I would have had a pan, I would have hit him in the head with it. I was so frustrated.
He's shockingly bad.
Shockingly bad.
I'm a better lawyer.
Yeah, and actually, that'll come up at the list. But they had some fun with that, too, about it was like he was a Dateline watcher that was gifted the opportunity to try a case. And because they watched Dateline so much, they think they could do it.
Well, to be fair, Dateline, they focus more on solving the case than the trials, usually.
Well, they've better, according to Kateline.
That's not a Dateline, man. That's something else.
You would be bad at it if you were only watching Dateline for your lawyer knowledge. You gotta watch, you know, law shows.
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta watch The Good Wife.
There you go. You got another good wife in there.
She has made a mockery of these proceedings.
While I agree the average viewer would not be able to watch Dateline and be a good lawyer, Caitlin, I feel like we'd be like good detectives or something. What do you think? I feel like we're the exception and we would be good at it.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? What do you think?
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, honey.
So Remy is found guilty.
Kurt, remember what? When I was a lawyer and you were a bailiff?
I sure do. I absolutely sure do.
Trial of the century.
That was fun.
We can't talk about it.
And let's not forget that Remy was, quote unquote, hormonally happy. Okay? As in, because the boots were knocking, he wasn't killing anybody.
He was also hormonally happy, according to Gilberto Garcia in court. Hormonally happy men don't commit murders, Josh.
You could feel her disgust in that. Hormonally happy. So he gets locked up. He gets 25 years to life. And now we think this is the end of the story. And man, oh man, do I wish it was. But somebody wised up. They call it a 440, I believe. And we've heard it before where, like, you can say to the judge, my lawyer sucked. It wasn't fair. Like, I should get a new trial.
I mean, yes. It's got to be much more than just my attorney didn't do a good job.
Very
and
hard.
I got convicted as a result.
But this one, his new lawyers who were good, and J-Mank loved them, and I loved them too. I loved their energy. I loved their confidence. Did you like these two?
I did.
The guy and girl?
I actually have a fun tidbit about that.
Is that right? Well, unleash it. Hit me.
So my husband and I are watching the episode.
Okay.
We love these two lawyers. They're great. Episode ends. He's scrolling on his phone. Completely unrelated. He sees an article about someone who was wrongly convicted and the conviction was being overturned. And his lawyers are those two.
Those two. No sh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he checked and it was in a nearby area of New York.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty wild.
Isn't that a weird coincidence?
Yeah.
There's no words for it. I've never seen anything like it.
I do like them a lot. They had some good points. So they are the ones that look into it, and they're the ones that try it, and they're so confident. They cannot wait to say, oh, we knew we were going to win.
We knew we were going to win.
It was so obvious.
This is another reason why I love them. It's because they had no problem dissing that old lawyer.
He's just Googling general things about forensics.
General things about forensics.
General basic concepts, almost like Wikipedia style articles.
Yeah, there was one on the basics of DNA.
Like when we talked about all the things that this lawyer failed at, it's pretty hysterical. I mean, they really go in on the guy. I mean, obviously we have to, because what's his story? Where is he today? I want to know, like, what's his con today?
And it's funny to see Remy being all excited about the lawyer in the first interview.
My attorney's been ready.
And then just speaking so disparagingly about him in the second interview.
He was an idiot. Everybody knows that. Everybody saw that.
And it's like, oh, someone didn't do their homework the first time around.
Exactly. There are two revelations in this second interview with AC that are pretty shocking. The first one is Remy says that even though he was 100% honest 10 years ago,
I have nothing to hide.
He says now, but the one thing I didn't say is that they were threesomes between Jennifer, Eileen, and me, and it wasn't cheating. What?
When I interviewed with you originally, we had threesomes. It was my wife, Eileen, and myself. There is no issues, and it was going on for a while.
You just made everyone think without a doubt that you are guilty.
Without a f- doubt.
Because Eileen's like, no.
Eileen insists it's not true.
Yeah, and it's 10 years after the fact, like, and he goes, I have nothing to hide. I just, why say it? Or whatever. He just keeps talking in circles. One thing is very clear in this second one is that he's been sitting in his cell for 10 years having this debate. And AC kind of calls him out, like, you got some pent up stuff, bro. Like, are you okay?
You clearly have so much bottled up. Is this all you think about all day long?
Not at all!
And then that's when he drops the second bomb, which is also complete bullshit. Caitlin, do you remember what it was?
No.
He said that prison is hilarious.
He said it's easy, it's hilarious,
easy?
It's a joke.
Yep.
Prison is easy! You don't understand. There's so much freedom in prison.
It's a joke, he said. Yeah, prison is a joke.
You have no idea. Have you ever been in prison?
It is hilarious.
You can get anything you want. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. And AC's like, except leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get anything you want except for your freedom.
But then when she says that and shuts him down entirely, he just repeats it and goes, it's insane. You can get whatever you want. It's like, dude, what are you? You don't even hear yourself right now.
There's so much freedom like you wouldn't believe. It is insane.
You can get stuff smuggled in. What could you possibly need smuggled in? Drugs?
I feel like he's talking about like drugs or cigarettes or like candy, like the stuff that we see smuggled in shows. To him, in his demented head, that trade-off with living in the real world is even Stevens, because he's got just as many rights as we do.
If that's true, Remy, then why do you have an appeal in the works?
Yeah, and an appeal that goes through. I mean, they were all set to have another trial. And even AC says, you had pretty good lawyers, right? Like, why not fight this so you can get out of here today? And this is when I wondered about the integrity of those two lawyers, or I guess defense attorneys in general. So he agreed to take a deal. He said in court, I killed my wife. Now, Remy, in the interview with AC, is adamant that he didn't and he just said that or whatever, right?
Right.
So
the answer is no.
Remy told us that while he said the word guilty in court, he is anything but.
I am not guilty. I am innocent.
If you're those two lawyers, I guess it's still ethical to fight for him because he did not get a fair trial. That's in their opinion, even if he's guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like even when they get to the court and it's like, oh, Remy's going to sign this. He's going to say he did kill her. It was still a good fight for them because it was unjust law-wise. Am I right?
Yes.
And you agree?
I do.
I think we gotta.
I mean, I think it's just even when lawyers defend and know that their clients are guilty, because the law is everyone is entitled to a defense.
Yeah. Oh, and also that lawyer. So apparently he's answering AC's calls, but didn't want to be on camera because she followed up with him. And his statements were, I support the judge's ruling that I wasn't prepared. And then he goes, oh yeah, and I thought Remy was guilty from day one. Bye.
He now tells Dateline he believed Remy was guilty from day one.
Like he threw that in there, that he knew he was guilty.
Do you want to know all when right, I knew he was guilty?
When's that?
When he said that his wife was eating Kashi cereal and looking at her iPod Touch. Too much detail, bro.
Yes.
You're guilty.
Yeah.
When I came home, Jen was eating Chobani yogurt and Kashi cereal at the table, and she was on her iPod Touch.
I mean, that's an excellent point. It seems weird how much he says brand names in this sentence.
It is right? Far too detailed. It is made up. He did it.
Everything he said bugged me, but here's a little taste. When AC goes, so you were booked then and there? And he said, oh, not just booked, I was perp walked. That's booked. That's all under booked, you fucking idiot.
Oh yeah, not just booked. Perp walk. From a block away, straight through, in chains and manacles and leg irons, the whole ball of wax.
That's all part of being booked, bro. I don't know.
A perp walk is when you have to do it for news cameras.
Is that true?
Yeah, he didn't do it for news cameras.
Yeah, you're right, or else we would have seen that.
There's no news footage of him doing that.
Oh, I would love it, though.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what that is.
No, he doesn't, but I would love to see that, though, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to see it?
I would. So he only has to do, like, what, 8 more years or something?
Yeah. 8 years. I mean, he's going to be out. Now, here's my biggest question mark about Remy's guilt of killing his wife, is that these two good lawyers send back some DNA, and they say that they found a partial DNA underneath her fingernails, which is signs of a struggle territory.
Under Jennifer Ramsaran's fingernails was male DNA.
It was a partial profile of male DNA. Their expert said it was not enough to conclusively identify a person, but she could say it did not come from Remy.
They found DNA under Jennifer's fingernails. They couldn't identify it. So it could be anybody's, right? But it wasn't Remy's.
Right, but that didn't make sense to me. If they can't identify it, how do they know it's not Remy's?
Well, because Remy gave up his, so they know his code.
But the way they say it like, we can't determine what it is.
Right.
So...
Well, honestly, it kind of feels like those weird CODIS rules where they don't, like, in order to see if it fits anybody, you got to have, like, good cause or something.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Because they would be using that as appellate lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, I said, yeah, like I knew. I've heard the word appellate. Don't ask me to define it, Kate.
No, it's when you have an appeal. Appellate. Lawyers that handle your appeal.
Oh.
Since they're not...
Okay.
Since they're not the detectives and they need to find some other evidence, they are the ones using CODIS, and they won't be allowed to if they don't have a good enough reason, I guess.
Yeah. Now, any other case, I'd hear about DNA on her fingernails, and I would not question for a second that it was from signs of a struggle. But let's now take a minute. Is there a way that could get there and it not be from signs of a struggle and Remy still killed her? I don't think that sets him free.
I wouldn't say that's a sign of a struggle.
Even though I hate his guts and would never set him free, as we established, I throw away the key.
Is this the episode where there's like footage of him running to the gym or something?
Yes. So let's lay out how the prosecutors pin him. Because, I mean, you hear about this DNA and stuff, the lawyer, and they also had a problem with the way the prosecutor talked about that video footage, like some weird ass rule in like the way he referred to it was off.
A judge found that the original prosecutor mischaracterized the significance of that blood on Remy's sweatshirt.
He was seen on surveillance footage at the gym running up to it. Like, he didn't drive to the gym, he ran there, which he could have done if he ditched Jennifer's van and ran from there, because he's a marathon runner. That's 20 miles. He can do that in like an hour.
Caitline, you're so right. I didn't even think of that. I know that there's a ride involved here because he got a ride home from the gym from Eileen. And she's like, he didn't invite me to so it was suspicious. Remember? Yeah. Like, that's day of. That's day of the death.
Yeah.
Where she's dropping off and he goes, oh, I know you're busy. I know you're busy.
He got out. He said, I know you're busy. And never invited me in. Nothing.
Yeah, well, he didn't need a ride to the gym because he ran there from killing Jennifer.
That's a great call. Did they present that? That's gold. I feel like that should have been presented.
McBride said that Remy the runner jogged a short mile to the YMCA.
Because you see him run up. He's not getting out of any car. And then he's like stretching and, you know.
It's the most obvious, like he knows where the camera is. He's doing these long stretches. He's getting worked up. It's all horrible.
But instead that incriminates him. Because it's like, you just ran there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also he said that he ran in front of other places, but they couldn't find the footage of that. Like, his story kept getting busted, basically, right? Like, his story kept falling apart.
And examining the computers, the expert said that there was no work done during those hours.
We gotta talk about Remy's epiphany, okay? Do you remember Remy's epiphany in the desert?
Oh, yeah.
While he's running, with no water.
Salt collecting on his back. He's, I guess, delirious and dehydrated.
But I didn't give up. I'm still going.
And all of a sudden, he realizes he loves Eileen.
But how'd he realize that? Do you remember what kicked it off? It was a Christian rock band song. You don't remember this?
Oh, I do.
And they even play the clip of the song, and it's terrible.
Well, I would assume.
And a song came on by the Christian rock band Skillet. Tomorrow's One Day Too Late.
Will tomorrow be too late?
He's telling this story to AC like he's in a talking head in When Harry Met Sally. He's describing the meet cute of his life. Like, he's saying this as if AC is going to think it's romantic.
And as I'm running, my mind just drifted. And that song hit home. And I love that song. And the person that came to my mind was Eileen.
She's not, dude. You just got done talking about your salty back, and now you're saying this Christian rock song made you realize that the woman you want to be with is Eileen, your wife's best friend. This is a dumb story.
And remember, AC tells Eileen that, and she's like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She's like not impressed, doesn't think it's nice.
You're the real love of his life. I didn't know that.
Not at all. I love that. I love that they play some of their jail calls, and you can tell that Eileen's got a foot out the door when he's like, oh, I love you. I miss you, my wife. I look at my finger and I imagine your name there. Are you going to move in? And all her responses are like one word of like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I miss you. I love you. Okay, I got to go.
Yeah.
Remy was calling her a lot.
Oh, my girl. Oh. That's what, I close my eyes and I imagine what you're wearing and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so AC just says that she eventually distance herself from Remy. I mean, that must have been a painful 8 months of not answering calls. Because they give us a number. They talked 2,000 times while he was in prison. Now, resident expert, 2,000 calls in prison seems like a lot. How often do they get to make phone calls?
I don't know. But 2,000 calls from prison, that's like once every couple hours.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But she also didn't realize that either. Oh, I didn't know we talked that much. Oh, oh.
Yeah, you know, Eileen's not innocent either. She had sex with her best friend's husband, who is maybe the most annoying person in their entire town. And I have to think...
And she's talking about how she's attracted to his confidence.
Right. I have to think that's because there aren't any other men in the town. I don't know.
Yeah, and her husband sounds like a zero. Because she's married and has kids this whole time, too. We can't forget.
Because that's how she met Jennifer, through the Girl Scouts, with their kids.
Yeah.
And also, Eileen, she's crying, but there are no tears.
Yeah. I wasn't impressed with Eileen either, and I wasn't happy with her. And actually, she inspired a new list item. A little tease for you, Caitlin. I got a new list item, and it's pretty dope.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, wait, hang on. Sorry. On Talking Dateline, Jay Mank is saying, like, look, at a certain point, you make a mistake, and it's not against the law. You got to forgive yourself eventually. Because Jay Mank wants to know why Eileen did the interview at all.
Mm-hmm.
As if he was like, maybe she did it as penance. Like, she's trying to pay herself back for this.
I mean, it's like wearing this sort of public hair shirt. I mean, did she do that because she sort of feels like she needs to be punished in the public eye for what she did? She's clearly ashamed of it now.
Now, this interview was from 2012. This was not new. This was from back then. So, I mean, it was pretty fresh, but where are you at on that? Do you think she should still be kicking herself? I mean, she's kind of right that if she didn't go to that Girl Scout meeting.
I don't know. I think that if it hadn't been her, it would have been someone else. Remy was out for Remy.
Yeah. Okay, so Kate, you said you were going to wait on whether or not you think he's guilty or not. Do we already talk about it?
He's guilty.
You think so?
I don't know that there is enough evidence to convict.
Right.
But like you said, guilty because he's annoying.
Yeah, guilty. Throw away the key. I stand by that, but I will offer this as proof that he's most likely guilty. Is Eileen's husband moved back in with her 2 weeks before Jennifer went missing. They had sex the day before Jennifer went missing. And Eileen said, we can't do this anymore. And Remy was upset, and she says, you know, Remy, he wants what he wants or whatever.
You know, he gets upset. You know, he wants what he wants.
Remy knows about this Camelot guy out in the UK who was in the first trial via Skype. Second trial, they wanted to fly him out. He said, no.
Good for him.
Rob's like, you're not getting my face anywhere near that.
The judge was not going to allow Rob to testify remotely from the UK, and Rob refused to fly to the US.
You know, we also got to say, they play the voicemails that Jennifer had left for Rob the morning of the murder. And the point made is that when you hear the banal activities in her life...
Turned out that very morning, Jen disappeared. She'd left these three voicemails for Rob, her UK gaming friend.
You know, I got up and brushed my teeth and brushed my hair. The youngest one lost another tooth at school yesterday. I think it's her 7th or 8th, but...
She was talking about teeth getting pulled on a voicemail, then she would 100% be talking about how she's about to drive 60 miles to buy her other daughter a new dress. I mean, hell, she might have left the voicemail while she was driving, right? She's going to call and leave voicemails for this guy at the house. I mean, if she was going to be on the road for hours, she would have done it then. So there's Remy, morning of the murder. The love of his life that Skillet told him to love forever.
Will tomorrow be too late?
She doesn't want to be with him. I feel like that's a perfect setup for him to want to kill his wife, is it not?
It's not a very good reason, but it is a perfect storm for his idiot mind.
Yeah. I mean, because you try and do the math on his perfect life thing, it doesn't make any damn sense. Oh, okay. Before we go to the list, I got a little juicy thing from Talking Dateline. So they were doing that as a Zoom. That's because AC was in Pensacola wrapping up interviews, and he was in jail in New York, okay? She was going to fly out to interview him, but Remy was getting moved that night to a new jail. So that paperwork process starts all over again. They don't have time. So she's at a lawyer's office for a completely other show, completely other case. She had to do a Zoom with him, but they had to do it right then. So she asked permission to use a spare office. She goes in there, and like she says, she goes, Remy, I forgot how much energy you have.
It is easy. You sound arrogant again.
It's not arrogance. It's the truth.
Remy, I forgot how much energy you have.
It's not about energy.
She's talking to this Talking Dateline like these other lawyers were probably mortified because they could hear every word because he comes in hot screaming and doesn't stop. So the whole time she's like trying to balance, like let him say his piece, but get my point across, but also remember that this is not our space. Like, she was, like, laughing about how those lawyers were probably like...
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, the defense attorney in this other story is probably like, what the heck?
They're turning to their colleagues and going, okay, do not let your client do this.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's list time.
Kate's unnamed list. Okay. Is it a small town? The kind of town where things like this just don't happen? You know it is, Kurt. It's New Britain, New York, and...
New Berlin. New Berlin, they called it. New Berlin.
I thought it was New Britain.
No, maybe you're just thinking of Rob.
New Berlin, New York, and it is a very small town, obviously, because Remy is hot shit there.
You're right! You're absolutely correct!
Yeah. There's no Florida connection, there's no military, and nobody cries and says, I'm sorry.
No.
But people do cry without tears.
Yeah. Hey, Remy squeezed some tears out in some of those news clippings when he was talking to his wife saying, you don't know how much I love you. Those were tears.
Sure, sure. Or was that just sweat?
Yeah. It might just be sweat. It might just be sweat. He was definitely sweating his ass off in that second interview.
His lip was wet. His whole upper lip was drenched.
Yeah, it was gross.
Disgusting.
Well, on to Kurt's Kick-Ass List.
Kick-Ass List. Kick-Ass List.
It sounds like what we would have on Kurt's Kick-Ass List is signs of a struggle, but it did not happen. I mean, you were wanting it. Were you feeling it when they were talking about the nails? They were so close.
And they found blood in the car.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't get it. We had a TV mention and two separate Dateline mentions. Right. The son gets the first one. We didn't really talk about him, but he was like Mr. Half Smile, lean back while he's talking. My dad didn't do it. Disillusioned kid guy.
We didn't watch Dateline or know about anything in the case. We simply just lived in the world that it happened.
That was kind of cool. Number two, Dateline, was the one that we mentioned earlier about the lawyer who was saying, and actually, oh, this is the TV one too.
Is this like somebody watching Law and Order and then thinking they can go and try a murder case?
Or Dateline. It's like somebody who's an avid Dateline fan all of a sudden thinking, okay, I'm going to handle this 4-week-long murder trial.
I thought that was an excellent mention of Dateline.
Anytime someone says Dateline, Dateline's going to put it in.
Yep. And I think it's because they know it's on Kurt's Kick-Ass List. And they do it on our behalf.
They do. They do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But here is my new list item. And I'm going to say it, and I want your honest reaction. But I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
Anytime someone who did something f***ed up in their apology, whether it be they're addressing the court or the victims or AC or whoever, if they say, well, I can't turn back time. It's like, well, I can't change it. It already happened. Right?
Or it's not going to bring her back.
That's it. That's it. Yes. Every time these people do something bad, a lot of them start with, I mean, there's nothing I could do to bring them back or I would. I would trade my life for theirs, but I can't. And there's only thing to do now is to move forward. What do you think, Caitlin? I flubbed the introduction of that, but I feel like it's a list item.
If you want to add it, let's add it.
Okay. Boy, that was a long delay there, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. And you're going to hear it in the clip and you're going to say that was a good ad.
Some people are going to remember you as being the worst kind of friend.
You know, you can't take back what you've done.
And on that note, I'm Kurt Money.
I'm Caitline.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
Prison is freedom.